Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Paul writes to the Galatians, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." In January of 1973, the Supreme Court of the United States of America decided that in every state, women should have the right, constitutionally, to murder their own children. And then in June, on the Nativity of St. John the Baptizer, a church festival, a day that we rejoice in a life given to the forerunner, the Supreme Court struck that decision down a little over a year ago. Now, there were some states that already immediately had in place that you could murder your child through all 9 months. But in the state of Wisconsin, we reverted back to an 1849 law that said only to protect the life of the mother. That's the right decision. But over that last year, the governor of this state found himself every day fighting to overturn that decision. He said so himself in the press release. And next week, because of a technicality, viewing of a judge in Madison, stating that this only means those who attack a pregnant woman, once again in Milwaukee and Madison, lives will be taken, murder will be once again legal. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Jesus said regarding those who would harm one of these little ones who believe in him, that it would be better for them to have a great millstone tied around their neck and for them to be thrown into the depths of the sea. It would be better for that than the pits of hell that await those who refuse to repent for decisions that they make. When governing authorities given by God, who are supposed to use the sword to put down evil and uphold good, use that sword to cut down innocent life, it is satanic. It is tragic. We will not sow to the flesh. I understand that there is hurt and there is pain and there are all sorts of situations that we do not choose to find ourselves in. But the fact is that God is stronger than all of our own sins. And he sent his son, Jesus, to die for each and every one of them. But to reject that sacrifice, to live in sin, is to sow to the flesh. We are not called to sow to the flesh. We are called to sow to the Spirit. We are called to trust in the Father, the one who knits each life together in the womb. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. I give thanks to him for the little over a year respite that he gave, knowing full well that they still sent plenty of things through the mail to do the same thing. We need to repent as a state, as a nation, as a world. We need to find ourselves back at the foot of the cross, crying out to a God who is merciful, even though we don't deserve it. All of us have sinned. All of us fall short of the glory of God. But we pray for the end of murder. We pray for the end of wickedness. We pray for life, from the tiniest lives to the oldest of lives. We defend life from conception to a natural death. Just as we will defend the elderly who, in certain states of this union, can be put to death themselves, we will defend them too. God is the author of life. God is the only one that should choose when that life is done. We do not take that in our own hands. He gave a whole commandment, you shall not murder. Instead, what we should do is we should uphold our neighbor. We should look to our neighbor and look to defend our neighbor, including the smallest neighbor. Originally, my sermon was going to be all uplifting, based on our gospel lesson. But I have to take what comes. And unfortunately, sometimes it's bad news too. But now that I've given you the bad news, let me give you the good news. Let us change our hearts, not forgetting what has happened, not forgetting that we need to defend, we need to speak up for those who have no voice, but that we also have reason to have joy. How can I tell you that you still have reason to have joy when murder is legal? Because the Lord is still the Lord. Jesus still reigns even in the midst of terrible, tragic, satanic things. Jesus loved you just as he loved each and every one of those children enough to go to the cross. That's how much our God loves us. It's unfathomable, isn't it? When I look at myself, I see a wretched man who does not deserve a single ounce of his mercy and his love, and yet he does it anyway. This is love. He first loved us so that we might love him. Our gospel lesson is an imagery of beauty, but after the words, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I want those words to sit on you for a little bit before I do give you the good news, because I think it's obvious that there are two masters out there, one of wickedness, one of self desires, and one of pure beautiful, of pure joy. That when our heart aches, we have a healer. That when our body is diseased, we have someone who will wipe those diseases away. You cannot serve God and mammon. That is the love of money, the pursuit of death. There are two ways, one that leads to life and one that leads to death. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. The good news. Jesus said, I do not want you to worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? Remember what God told Moses in Genesis, that after he created the heavens and the earth, after he set all these things into motion, after he created the plants, the trees, the vegetables, after he created the birds of the heaven and the fish of the sea, after he created every creeping thing, all land animals, he then made his most prized creation, mankind. How much more of value are you than all the rest of this creation? Look how beautiful creation is. Take a nature walk. Go through the mountains. Go look at the lakes. Find the beauty in what God has created, and then look in the mirror. Wretched though we are, God created you in his own image, after his likeness. He breathed an eternal soul into each and every one of us. How much more value are you than the beautiful flowers, than the birds that sing their beautiful songs? You are the prized creation. You are the ones that he sent his son to die for. Have you ever been able to worry yourself into adding life? Have you ever been able to worry yourself into growing taller or skinnier? No. You cannot add a single day to your life by worrying. Give yourself over to the Lord. Trust in Him. Realize that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Take care of the body that our Lord has given you, and take care of your soul. Find yourself receiving the gifts. Find yourself hearing His word. The Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of the Father, took on human flesh. Not the flesh of birds, not the flesh of lilies, but human flesh. He became one of us so that He might save us from our sins and save us eternally. The lilies are absolutely beautiful. This is Jesus' way of saying, stop and smell the roses. Take the time. We've added so much technology to our life, and how much more time do we actually have? We've added all the technology and we found ourselves with less time for leisure, less time for the Lord, less time for devotions and Bible reading. Take the time. Stop and smell the roses. Look at His beautiful creation. And then remember that He loves you even more than all the rest. Loves you more than the lilies. Loves you more than the birds or the sea creatures. Loves you more than the cattle. He loves you more than all those things. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? When we worry, we show that we fear, love, and trust in something above God. He is to be God above all things. He is a Father that loves you so completely. Will He not provide for you completely? I know that we might not have every single thing that we want, but we absolutely have every single thing that we need to support this body and life. If you have a roof over your head, give thanks to God. If the Lord has given you a husband or a wife, if He has given you children or a father and mother, give thanks to God. If you will eat at any point today, give thanks to God. If you have clothes to wear right now, give thanks to God. God has given us all of these beautiful blessings. But most especially, we need to thank Him for the sacrifice of His Son. All of these things will pass away, but the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ will never pass away. That is what brings us to eternal life. So trust Him. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Once again, he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Find yourself sowing in the Spirit. Find yourself receiving His word with joy. Even in the midst of terrible, evil, wicked things, there is still joy because Jesus Christ reigns. The church sings. What God ordains is always good. This truth remains unshaken. Though sorrow, need, or death be mine, I shall not be forsaken. I fear no harm, for with His arm He shall embrace and shield me. So to my God I yield me. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.